I'm in Southern California, and I was in San Luis Obispo last night, and I've got to be down in Irvine tonight, and so I'm sort of in transit, sort of halfway between, knowing that this thing was going to happen. I figured, well, hopefully I'll find some place to go and plug in all my stuff to do it, and pulled into Buellton at what, technically, this is Anderson's. P. Soup Anderson's motel. Yeah, you know the guys.
I've been there years and years.
Yeah.
Ago.
Well, so at any rate, I pulled into the motel and sort of made my case, and he said, "No problem. Absolutely, we'll hook you right over here." And so I'm sitting in the lobby.
Isn't the Madonna Inn near there?
Madonna Inn's in San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
That's a trip.
Oh, isn't it?
Hi there.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
It's Edmund Wu.
Edmund Wu. How are you, my friend? I was hoping you'd call in.
Okay.
Don, we're on with Don Smith.
Okay. Hey, Coach, is that the Coach?
You bet, Edmund.
Yes, sir.
It's Edmund has several restaurants in Greensboro, South Carolina.
Yeah, Greenville.
Greenville. Greensboro is North Carolina. There
yes,
we go.
Sir.
I'm sorry about that. I'm showing my seniority already.
What kind of restaurants do you have?
We have, actually I have three small restaurants. One is a dinner house, dinners only, Steaks, Fish, Wild Game, set in the Northwoods Hunting Lodge atmosphere. The second one is a little, sort of like a French country house, and it has like 80 seats. And then the third one, we just basically have a bar tavern that's basically a 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock operation. I mean, it's open longer than that, but basically sure. The only business that we have is 10 to 2, college hangout kind of thing.
All right. So, what's on your mind today?
Well, actually, I was thinking, I'm driving, I was trying to get home and get on my regular phone, and the first two questions that popped into my mind, both of them pertains to the Steaks, Fish, Wild Game concept.
Sure.
Our sales there are we've been open for 6 years, and the first year we did like $500,000. The second year we did like $800,000. The third year I think we did $970,000. The fourth year we got up to like $1.1 almost.
Great.
And in the last 2 years, we've turned the other direction.
Okay.
This past year we're just right, not quite $1 million, And the big change this past 2 years is I've had a manager in there. The first 2 years I had a manager. Third and fourth years I ran it myself.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not laughing at you, man. I've been there. Oh, yeah.
You know how that feels.
Nobody cares like the owner.
The owner does. Now, this guy that I have is an egg steak and ale guy. He's a spaghetti warehouse guy. Grandma. So he's a big corporate guy. And one of the things that I wanted to do is maybe do something with the Steaks, Fish, Wild Game. Hopefully, it will have some legs that we could do another couple, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring a corporate guy in there who was used to making sure that the systems happen, consistency of service, food quality, so forth, so on. So anyway, and he has done a very good job of that. The place is very well run. It's clean. The things happen when they should happen, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all that's great.
Right.
What has not happened, however, is the gift of hospitality kind of thing.
The romance.
Yeah, on the floor, I think the big difference between he and I is that, though I am not always the most comfortable person on the floor, I at the casual fine dining level that this is in, we're at a $25 check average. Per person average. I think it's very important to have that presence.
Right.
That one-on-one, that figurehead of some type. And my whole question leads to, we're coming back out with a revamped comment card, and we're it's tied into a trip giveaway, the Great Adventure giveaway kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions, the original question regarding the manager is the manager visible? And I'm wanting to change that to, did the manager visit your table?
Gotcha.
Because I think it's very important. I think my manager is visible, but and he frankly just is not comfortable hitting the tables. And he and I had a conversation about it. He said, you know, you have every right to expect it. Yeah, I know it's important. He said, you know, but I've just been in the business so long. I am so burnt out with table business. I'm not comfortable. You know, when I'm out there, I'm not comfortable with the chit chat, the small talk. I'm afraid if you make me do it, it's going to come out like, how's everything going? How's everything, you know, and just hit 50 tables. Oh, I'm done with that kind of thing.
Well, you're trading, you know, my mind kind of gets made up and I've got to be careful. But you're trading off sales, and I don't know yet to what degree, for administrative talent.
Right. Well, 10%.
Sure.
10% lost
10%
sales.
10% is a lot of money, because that 10%...
10% is gravy.
Bottom line, that's taking
right.
At least, you know, 60% of that is going to the bottom line.
Right.
So, you know, we hire people at Shakey's, for example. We call them project champions. And these are people that we would bring in to take, for example, a new concept that we would develop. And their purpose was ultimately to be multi-unit managers where they weren't in the face of the guest and having to do the thing that they hopefully were good at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
But from my perspective, unless you can move this person into an administrative situation, the one thing I like about him, he's honest with you.
Right.
The other thing I don't like is you're not going to get the maximum performance on that floor.
Right.
Without a person that has the kind of people skills. Now, it doesn't have to be an owner, Edmund.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have to have be someone with that love of interacting with people and putting on a party almost every night.
Right.
Now, you know, people that do it like you, myself, I'm going to tell you, I get tired of people, and I get burnt out of people. And there were times in my restaurant that I'd walk around the restaurant looking in the window from the outside because I hated people.
Right.
Something would happen, and the longer I was in it, I got to where this guy was.
Right.
And I'll be
honest with you, I am at that point, too. I have been so, and not just with the external customer, with the internal customer.
Right.
Because I am so old school.
You bet.
You know, so old school with these new kids these days that spout off, you know.
Drive you nuts.
Yeah, it just drives me crazy.
Let me back up a second. You know, this is kind of difficult not seeing the operation. But if you have a concept with legs, and that remains to be seen, but
mm-hmm.
it's possible you do,
mm-hmm.
and your investment going in, is $1 million is not a lot of money today
mm-hmm.
in the restaurant business. Not when you're going to have to share 5% of that with talent from the outside. In other words, you were extracting out of your restaurant the manager's position, the
mm-hmm.
salaries included,
mm-hmm.
and then the profit.
Right.
And if you're doing 15%. Somewhere in that name, which is good, you're now down to 12-11%.
Right, because of the volume.
Yeah, I mean, and so, in addition, it seems to me that what needs to be done to find someone, and I have been able to do it, but they're so difficult to find. And I'm going to give you a little suggestion that you, and maybe Bill can help you with this also, but there's a company that I've used and I have seen such success. And there are several that do the same thing today, but it's called Selection Research Institute.
Mm-hmm.
It's done by Don Clifton out of Omaha. I think it's Omaha, Nebraska, okay?
Okay.
But you're looking for a particular personality. And that person has to work that floor, interact with the guests. You know, you can always teach them food costs. You can teach them enough about food. Like, you can teach them enough about food so that they know what it's supposed to look like and taste like.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot teach them to love people.
Right.
And you can't teach them the discipline. When I say the discipline, for me to walk on that floor when I've got 18 other things in my mind.
Right.
And put on that smile.
Right. Especially when this guy thinks that You see, because he comes from a system
yeah.
kind of thing,
yeah.
you know, administrative, because he feels that those things are, if not more important, as important, and he's certainly more comfortable doing those things.
Well, in the, in the corporate world, it's all about how you're making your numbers.
Right, yeah, and he's always saying, well, you know, he said, you know, we're not getting enough profitability out of this thing. You know, we need to look at this menu as well. And then I go back to the Bill Marvin line that, you know, there's no cost problems that can't be solved
sure.
by higher sales. and you know, and I go, you know, but see, the problem is in this, you know, I'm paying a guy $45,000 a year.
Okay.
And so it's not, you know, we're not on competing with the Brinker Internationals of the world for what they're paying their GMs, but we're not doing $2 million either.
Right.
But the problem is paying the people at the range that I can afford to pay them, frankly, in the last 10, 15 managers I've had in the last 4 or 5 years at the different places,
yep.
this guy is head and heels above what's out there
yeah.
at that range.
Sure. Well, I don't know. Bill, sounds like you're between a rock and a hard place.
Well, right. I mean, it's like be careful what you ask for because you might get it.
Right.
You know, you wanted someone with a corporate background to get things organized, and you got it.
Right. With somebody that you know, because I was hiring people like myself,
yep.
which was people, but you should see my office, for goodness sakes.
You should see my office. Well, there are people that you can hire somebody to straighten out your office. You can. The gift with people. You hire it, you don't train it, pal.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that have it. And by the way, I'm not. For example, one of the things that I went to years ago was to me the most important person. The moment of truth is when you hit that door. And there has to be someone at the gate. To instantly greet you, I think instant greeting is one of the most critical things in the hospitality field. And they have to have that sincere smile. And I ended up hiring teenage kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I called them greeters. I didn't call them hosts. And I had two of them working most of the time and when we had good business so that one could be seating and the other was always there. But they were high school kids. I paid them a little better than the hourly wage. But they could smile, and they didn't worry about food costs. They didn't worry about all the other stuff they had to do except make those people happy on the floor. And the other thing is you pull yourself away, the influence you have on the others that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, this person now is influencing everyone around him
yeah.
with that will not have the same heart they had when you were there.
That's correct.
Oh man, I've been there. I don't like where you're at.
Right. Well, one of the things that he and I had the conversation about the other day was the whole point we were hiring him for was initially at this store, and then for him to be what you're talking about, multi-unit level manager.
Right.
And I said, Michael, you know, he's worried about his job,
sure.
because of the sales.
Sure.
And I said, well, Michael, you know, what I'm worried about is if you're going to be a multi-unit level manager for us. And this thing has legs and it goes. But I'm worried that you're training you'll be training the unit level right. managers into single dimensional kind of people.
Absolutely.
They'll be like you and at this casual fine dining, you know, we can't do that.
It's a legitimate worry.
Yeah.
You know, I come from first generation people, okay? We are the kind of people that go into the service business. I happen to be lucky enough to get an education. But what I've seen out there today are a lot of Hispanic folks
right.
that are so happy to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're bright. They may not speak the language well, but they've got the charm and the pizzazz. And you could be looking. I had a woman from who worked for me. I found her in a laundry. Her name was Mar Palmer. And this lady, I saw her... And the way she greeted me, walking in to get shirts, which I didn't usually do, my wife did it, but this day I saw this lady, and my God, she made this whole room light up with her smile. I had a card with, I always carry a card with me that says, I like your style, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, you know, someday or down the road, if you're ever looking for an opportunity, give me a call. And I had my telephone number in the back, and this is something you think about carrying with you.
Right.
You find somebody, I'm going to tell you this, you don't change people like the one you're talking about. You can talk until you're blue in the face, and you're not going to give the term, technically, I would call it, Bill, and maybe you say agree with this, it's empathy.
Mm-hmm.
People that have the ability to reflect another person's mood and in a way that it's a positive thing, okay? This is a gift. It starts by the time you're nursing with your mother. It's something people have by the time they're 3 to 4 years old. And it technically, this stuff occurs, they say, in the frontal lobes of your brain, and you have people on the floor that are readers. And what I mean by that, they can look at an individual in a party and they know exactly how to treat them. They know whether to get down on one knee at the table and joke with them immediately or stand up and be very formal. The manager must have this capacity to identify the mood of people. What a gift this thing is.
Let me ask you a question, Don. Could you, I'm trying to think of in this situation, you've got someone who is good with the systems and the tweaking of the operation, and you need that.
Sure.
Could you accomplish what you need to accomplish with that that personality presence on the floor? It just doesn't happen to be a manager.
You lose a lot when you're not the manager.
Okay.
The other thing you lose, and it occurred to me when Edmund was talking about this, is people like to know the owner. And this is no disrespect to you, sir. But even if you're not the world's greatest personality, the fact is that you are an owner, and that carries with it a power.
Right.
And people want to be able to walk in and say, I'm going to take you to my place tonight, you know. And you recognize them, and now they come out one more time this month than they did before.
Right. See, and the thing is I've thought about that also. I thought about, I do value this guy's assets. And I do need that because, goodness gracious, if you leave me the paperwork,
you don't even want to do that.
Right, I don't even want to do that, but it's not going to be done well. I'm going to be paying penalty this, penalty that, just because I don't want to look at the stuff.
Right.
I said, maybe I should show up there 3-4, and then I said, well, you know, but that's not what it, that's what I should be doing.
Well, it's not necessarily, brother.
Yeah.
You know why? Because if... First of all, $1 million is not a big volume.
No, it's not.
It may not be a concept that has the legs you
right.
expect. I mean, what happens with entrepreneurs is this. We go into business and either fall into it or get lucky or have a lot of time
back
to
into
a piece
it.
Of property.
Mm-hmm.
You get a piece of dirt and a decent building and you never plan on it being as good as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You paid very little for it. And so you got a system that works. It's making money on $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to expand it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you get lucky looking for 6 months for another spot like this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't. But maybe it costs you twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, instead of paying a 6% rent, you're paying a 14% rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't work.
And your profits just drop. And if the concept doesn't have economic feasibility,
mm-hmm.
at a current going rate, not what you put into it or paid for it,
mm-hmm.
but at what it would cost to build number two, I'd be real careful at $1 million today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's you got a good-sized check average, but people are going to go out and spend $25 per person. They want just a little schmaltz for it.
Right.
And that care...
A little pressing of the flesh.
I want to give them, send a bottle of wine over to that table over there. The wine used to cost me practically nothing.
Right.
But... Oh my God! That gift is worth so much to that person because it's a gift of hospitality.
Yeah, the funny thing was one of the things that he set out to accomplish was to get the control of my comms. because I used to on a Friday Saturday night buy the whole place stuff.
Well, you see, let me.
So far that controls cost you $100,000. Now what?
Yeah, you know what? Chains now spend $4. You know, the average is 2%, but the good chains are spending 4% on advertising.
Right.
Now, I didn't advertise. I built the 8th largest restaurant in the city of Chicago without advertising. But I took 4 cents of every dollar and gave it back to the guests when they came in with what I call the unexpected extra.
Right.
Now, if he worked for Steak and Ale or one of these places,
mm-hmm. he got penalized for that.
These people were spending 3, 4, 5% for the marketing. And so... my approach for an entrepreneur, where you do it differently for a change, that personality is necessary. The chain's personality is developed on the tube. And so if you're going to see a Chili's, Chili's is already giving you the romance on television.
Right.
But your restaurant or my restaurant, not going to have that. So the idea of getting control, and again, I think you should know what you're spending, but I spent just about 4% of my sales and gave it back as what I call unexpected extra. And they were my gifts, and they became, you know, the hot bread that would come out of the kitchen on, you know, where they didn't expect it and so forth. You might have a concept going here that needs the entrepreneurial approach. And trying to fit it in the shoe of a chain restaurant might not work. I tell you this, you're not going to get the sales from this guy.
Right.
My belief system, people don't change.
Right. What about bringing somebody, a assistant or maybe somebody that might be more suited that's already in the organization to work the floor on those nights?
I think it's certainly worth a try. But I would make sure that person...
Being trained by me and not by him?
Yes, that would be number one. Number two, I'd call that person... Eventually, that person become manager.
Mm-hmm.
You call this person general manager, but
right.
People don't know the difference.
Right.
But let them know at least they're working with a manager, and you back... What you've got to do is something I had to do, and that was back away, because it was eating my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was going on that floor, I was faking it too much of the time. And so my advice would be, yes, try that. It's certainly a worthwhile step. You don't have to pay quite as much. But in order to pay, you know, $45,000 is not a lot of money in a salary.
No.
And so, you know, I don't know what you're getting for $45,000, but you may be paying for something that's going to deliver, and maybe it'll deliver another concept to be tested. And or the second or third unit.
Well, not third, but second anyway.
Second, yeah. And not work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I'm just going back. If you don't do an input-output, in other words, if you put a dollar in an investment, okay, you should make a dollar, at least a dollar 4 cents in sales. So
if we put $500,000 into rehabbing and getting something open, you're saying that we should get...
You should make at least 1.4 to 1.3 to 1.4 to 1.
Okay.
So you multiply it by that, and it's if it's not doing it, you're just not going to deliver the numbers.
Right. So if you put $1 million in, you better be looking at 1.3, 1.4 million in sales.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'd probably look for something a little bit higher than that, just because you're going to work the same no matter what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look at Carrabba's. Now, you know, this is really the steakhouse chain, Chris Sullivan. Stacked. You know, they're open for dinner only.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some real advantages for dinner only.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because people don't like to go to the same restaurant that often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't have the lunch, and their numbers really support this theory, it is a theory, in that particular type of dinner house restaurant, it's strictly exclusively for dinner.
Right.
So you would probably not be suffering from sales as much as you might think, as opposed to being open for lunch. I think it's reasonable. I think it can work, but... The trouble of trying to get into business today, it's going to, you know, I'm saying $1 million. I know what some of my students and graduates are paying today for units.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they're in the $2 million range.
Right, right, right.
And you really got to bust the numbers to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of a town are you? You know, I don't know.
We're in a small town. It's probably the second largest, third largest town in South Carolina, but you're only talking about 500,000 people.
Yeah. See, that's.
Yeah. I mean, our concept is built to go to this. As I see it, it's built toward going to these tertiary cities.
Yes.
And looking for rehab opportunities.
Yeah.
Okay, that's smart.
Because I don't see ourselves doing 1.8 or 1.6 or $2 million. I mean, but you know, can we make the numbers work?
Well, you know, doing $2 million is terrific. Having to do $2 million is
that's right.
Is terrible.
Good way to put it. You know, it's possible, and chains are opening up in the secondary towns and doing very, very well. You're the best, you know, you're the best guy in town, and it's possible.
I mean, the question would be whether the concept's coming in too high in the market to work in the small towns.
Yes.
If you look at somebody like Applebee's, who's probably done the best of any sort of a national group of getting into smaller markets and making it work, they're not coming in very high on the food chain.
No. And $25, you know, that's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And it, by the way, it's not terribly expensive, but in a small town, it's not.
Right. But the problem is for us little guys to compete, it's very difficult for us to compete lower on the food chain.
Yep. Oh, believe me, I understand that. And the thing seems to me that, I like your idea of expanding and getting someone that can systematize it and all of that, but you're barking up the wrong tree of you stepping out of that area, because in the meantime, I mean, this guy can drop 10% a year on you.
Right. So in the meantime, should I restructure my time and be a major focus in that restaurant at night when we're open?
You want my opinion? Yes.
Yeah.
I would definitely think so, and then at the same time be looking for someone, not this person, not this administrative type,
mm-hmm.
because you are going to have to know what you're looking for in personality type.
Right.
Somebody that lacks high work energy, who really gets off with people. And they're there. They're oftentimes working for you right under your own nose, and
right.
you don't see them. But because, you see, one of the problems that I had is I have a very strong personality, and I do all kinds of fun things for people, and I castrated everyone that I hired.
Right.
That tried to become, I wanted them to replace me, but I never allowed them to do it. I shouldn't say never, because I eventually had to learn this was a terrible thing I was doing.
Right. See, and I haven't had that. I pulled out, but I feel like I pulled out to the detriment of the concept.
Yes, yes. And it sounds like you have, too. And, I mean, this guy has got to understand that the way you do a business like this in a small town is in a lot to customer interaction and hospitality and the caring and remembering the names. My teacher was the greatest teacher in the world, and the first thing he told me, wasn't asking about food, first thing he ever said to me was, remember their names.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't got somebody out there that's fighting to remember the names, and if you're lousy at remembering names, you write them down.
Mm-hmm.
But this comes from, 14 years every day, getting up and going to that joint and opening it up, and running it. And how tired you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking for someone that can run it for you. I don't know that you'd ever find the person that's going to be you, okay? But I do.
I hope not.
Well, if you can make customers, man, I can hire anybody that I can find the numbers people.
Right.
I can't find the ones that are hard are the ones that make our customer people.
Mm-hmm.
More important that you are keeping track every day of customer counts.
Right.
And the first day that customer count falls below a week, the year before that same date, I want somebody to get scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that this individual looks the way I hear it.
Well, I mean, there's a possibility. I'd be interested in your thought on this, that maybe what you've got there is a guy who's a director of operations, and you need to be the director of hospitality.
Right.
And just say you take care of the linear stuff, and I'll take care of making sure that people have a good time
mm-hmm.
while they're doing it. I mean, if you're going to keep this guy at all,
yeah,
right?
He may not be the right guy, though.
Right?
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, but let's change horses a second. This is my second question.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the things that I have tried to implement, and I've been much more successful at the little French place because
mm-hmm.
The servers there are a little bit older than I have at the Steaks Fish Wild Game place. It's sort of a name recognition thing from the guest. basically the it works like this. You come in the door, and they'll go the name of your party, you know, your last name, sir. The little 15-year-old hostess gets your name.
That's it.
Puts it on a ticket. Puts the ticket down on the table.
Right.
Circles, right, with the name on it, circles the seat number.
Right.
And what the server is supposed to do is supposed to pick it up, you know, look over at seat two, because that's what circle, and say, Mr. Smith, you know, it's good to, you know, good to have you with us.
Right.
You know, very simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the little French place, it works fairly well, 80% of the time, even when they botch the names,
mm-hmm.
because they're mature enough, or, you know, sometimes they don't even bother looking at the thing. They'll pick it up, you know, my, what is your name? You know, thank you for dining with us, blah, blah, blah. Because they're old enough, they're confident enough to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this might be also going back to my manager, too, at the States Fish Wild Game Place. But over there, it has been a spectacular failure. The hostesses do a great job of getting the names. But the servers, we only have maybe, 20, 30% of them actually executing it. And, you know, and they come back with the same, through my manager with it, it's so embarrassing when we get the name wrong and it's the wrong person, blah, 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 you know, and I don't know if that's amplified by my manager, because I've seen, my wife, for instance, she's only been speaking English for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
She will botch, your name is Mr. Smith, she'll call you Smythe or something.
Sure.
But she'll smile her way and bungle her way through it.
You bet.
You know, that it's okay. And when she's working, she'll be making 50% tips. If you hold on 1 second, please. I'm sorry.
Now, that sounds to me like that's a reflection of the manager.
Oh, you know, absolutely. He's got a guy that doesn't have the same approach.
That's my wife. She locked herself out.
But now, what were you saying, Edmund? I think that what you're describing is that the organization tends to reflect the person at the top, and right now the person at the top doesn't want to do the table thing.
Right.
And so there's a subtle pressure, however that might manifest itself, to not be good there. If you are good there, then somehow you're a threat to him. And
Yep. Very easily. There could be he could come in thinking, you're just a hillbilly, and that he's going to bring all the sophistication.
Exactly. Yeah,
and not realize if they've never been in entrepreneurial shoes. I have seen more guys fail, and I'm not. I don't want to mention names, but Bill, I've seen more guys fail who've been in chains all their life, and they've never really worried about where the money came from. And they never seen it. It's always been there, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an entrepreneur, you know where the money comes from. It comes from that customer. And the customer becomes the single most important, because you've got to make pay the bill. And, it is, I think right now he's got a guy that is just not, no matter what you do, you're not going to make that individual.
Yes, I mean, you're talking about these things as two different issues, but I think they're really part of the same.
Right. One of the things that I was going after, Bill has this thing, if something's not happening, you go through these 5-6 questions.
Yep.
Do they not understand it? Should we maybe even not do it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I can certainly understand, you go to a table of 5 or 6 yep. people, and you only have to name of one person. Well, it's kind of dumb to ask, to greet one person by name, maybe, and not greet the other 5 by name.
Well, I did your system.
Right.
And because names were one of the most important things, I carried this to extremes. For example, I did artwork. I did my customers' faces.
Mm-hmm.
I had menus with their faces on it. I had items on my menu that were named for customers. I had matches that you sat down on, except on Saturday night. If you sat down at a table, there would have been a sleeve of matches with your name on it.
Right.
These are the things that I so believe in. And let me tell you, it's hard to do. It takes it out of you. But the difference is, if I say in my place, this is the way we operate, this is the way we operate. And if you're not being given that 100% support, and sometimes it's even nonverbal, he wants you to remember the names.
Right.
Instead of being enthusiastic about it and saying, yes, it can be done.
Right.
And it's so important. And if it's not happening, I can see why you're down 10%, and it's going to continue to slide.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody who leaves finds another favorite place, and they don't come back.
Sure, where somebody will remember the name.
You bet. Yeah. I mean, right now, it opened right across the street from you.
Well, it is. I mean, they're all over the place, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And they're tough. You see, the one thing the chain won't do, though, as a rule, they won't have anybody like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd be very threatening to a chain operation.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're talking, as Bill said, I think you're talking the same problem.
Right. So I'm just wondering, that's why I tried to, in fact, the name thing was sort of, it wasn't a reaction to him not being able to do it, but it was sort of, I said, well, you know, if I can't get him on doing comfortable table visits, maybe I should be able to systemize this where at the point of contact is happening.
Well, okay, I have a rule about point of contact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions I want to know is if the manager visited the table. But the manager does not have to stop and talk every time.
Right, and that's what I've tried to tell him.
See, I put it, you know, did the manager make contact with every table? And sometimes making contact can just be eye contact.
Exactly.
That they know that you know that they're there.
So I can change that question to, did the manager make contact versus did the manager visit your table?
Yeah, or did you see the manager?
Yeah.
Well, then should I go back to my original question, you know, was the manager visible?
Yes, I think that's, you know why I say that? Mm-hmm. When you are in, and I, you know, I've done this so often, but when you're in conversation at a table and everybody seems to be having a good time,
mm-hmm.
and I go by and slowly walk by your table, if I don't get some nonverbal cue from you, that's eye contact,
mm-hmm.
looking up, some recognition that says it's okay to break in, I just walk by. But I look mm-hmm. and see if you need drinks, if your iced tea glasses
right.
are filled, whatever. I'm checking that out. And the best thing I can do under those kind of circumstances is when you leave, I shout across the room, you know, Edmund, come on back, I need you.
Right.
You know, and this is my style of running a restaurant, and we grew this thing and grew it and grew it, and did I get tired.
Let me throw out a suggestion, just a little difference in the wording of that. Just say, was the manager in evidence?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it really is that. I mean, it's one of the things I look for, was there a management presence? Did I really sense that someone was watching over this thing?
You know, I think even the word presence is a great word.
Yeah.
Was the manager present or in presence?
No.
Did you, was there a manager presence? Meaning, did you, or what he said at the beginning, did you see somebody that looked like the boss walking around?
Right.
Well, yeah, was the manager in evidence or, you know, did you sense a management presence?
Yeah.
Right.
Because you can have a management presence even if you're not on the floor,
mm-hmm.
in some cases.
Just as a second thought on that, Bill. You know, he says, did the manager say hello, or did the manager stop by? You know, that's just still not a bad question. You're not going to stop by every table, but you're going to stop by 75% of them.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop by 75%. I'm just grabbing a number, but because I will get that kind of response. Or they're going to look over my way and they're going to tell me, yeah, come on over.
Well, you could say, did you meet the manager?
Yeah. Okay. There.
Meeting the manager is a little bit higher in degree than did the manager stop by.
Yeah. Did you meet the manager?
I don't think that stop by is a bad question.
Okay. I mean, I would, yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is what I've tried this point, I said, you know, Michael, I'm not talking about getting in a 10-minute conversation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about picking up a breadboard, filling a cup of coffee, you know, nodding to somebody, you know.
Let me suggest one other thing, and this is sort of a general thing on comment cards, but it might, because all of these are right questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them all, but do them on different cards.
Right.
So I might have six different comment cards. I won't get, because people won't take any more than 2 minutes with a comment card.
Right.
I mean, that's the work on it. So if I've got 20 questions that I want to ask, I might have five cards with four questions each.
Right.
And by varying the question, you might find that you get a different level of response when you ask it this way than when you ask it the other way, which might give you some more clues as to what's going on, because the whole purpose of it is to get some feedback that you can use to make it better the next time.
Right.
And one more thing that I can throw out along this line, and that is it's a little complicated, and it may not work for you, but I've been at three different universities, and
if you're in an area where there is a college that teaches hotel restaurant or a high school that has a course on service and hospitality,
mm-hmm.
first of all, if they do have, I would be over there if I were you talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them you'd be happy to give them a lecture, and I don't care what it is, just make sure you tell them what, you know, show them the business, show them what you know. But what I would say to you is that I was able to send my students in and do research studies and get more questions answered because people are willing to help kids.
Right.
And so if you did, if there was a way for you on a basis, on a quarterly basis, and if you can't do it on a quarterly basis, on a semi-annual basis, to get, 10 questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking your customer from an employee, asking your customer, give me a credit card, I like three questions, you know. Four at the most. But if you really wanted to do this to find out how satisfied they really were with your service,
mm-hmm.
you might be able to work out something with a local high school or junior college. I don't know if you have one there.
We do. Now, where they would be asking questions of people on their way out?
No, they could do that on the way out. They could get their
I mean, we want to interrupt their dining experience.
Yeah, intercept on the way out is probably the most effective way to do what we're talking about here.
Right.
And the other one is, it's always worked. I got this from Norman Brinker. Every once in a while, he would just walk in his old steak and ale days. And it may not be good for you, but somebody else that does it, just look like a customer and walk in. And all you have to say as guests walk out is, you ask the question, hey, is this a good place to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And the responses you get, you're listening for as much for intonation as you are for the words.
Mm-hmm.
How enthusiastic. And you look to see how many people really believe this is a good place to eat.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
That's good it. Point.
At any rate, I don't know that we've given you the kind of help you're looking for.
No, I mean, you know, sometimes the truth is the truth that you don't want to hear from yourself.
You want to put a sign in your office,
mm-hmm.
and it just says, "What are you pretending not to know?"
Oh, I love that. That's great.
That one will bring you up short every time that you register it.
How many times have I seen someone that worked for me that did something, and I wish to God, oh man, I don't hope I didn't see that.
Right.
Because you don't want to terminate, and you don't. But certain things, I'll never forget. I hired a guy because I was so tired. I needed somebody. Back then, I'm talking about maybe 1968, I paid him $35,000 a year.
Wow.
And, I mean, that was great salary. This guy came with great reputation. And the first Saturday night, this person brought his family of four kids, he and his wife, and took an eight top in the center of my dining room and ate on a Saturday night, and I needed five turns out of that table. He could have had that table on a Monday, it wouldn't have been a sweat, but I wanted to kill him. And the first thing, it was the first weekend we worked, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I don't want to see that. That's so stupid.
Right.
That guy can't work for me. Mm-hmm. So I blew it off. I did just what Bill said. What is it? I didn't want to know.
Right.
And but I fired him about a month later because of two more things. One more thing, and there's no three strikes in my case.
Well, see, there's another dimension to this too, Edmund, and that's how much of your time is he taking by virtue of this thing not working the way that you want it to work.
Right. Well, it would be, especially if I'm going in there, because.
But right now, look at how much energy you're spending.
Sure.
With what do I do and can I make this work? And I mean, there's a point where, you know, you do what you need to do. If you make a mess, you clean it up and you get on with your life.
Well, you know, sometimes though I wonder, is it me? Because with the three units,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I have a history of hiring dysfunctional managers that I am constantly trying to shore up where they're weak.
Yes.
And end up. So I'm starting to think, well, it's not, you know, I mean, it's like what Bill says. They asked for a job, you gave it to them,
mm-hmm.
And you go, you know, maybe it's me. Yeah.
Because you're tired, you're running three restaurants, which is tough, and people eat away at you. And this is nothing against people or the business, but it's a fact.
No, it's true.
You know, I just literally burned myself out, and if I couldn't get away, I was able to do that eventually. But it took me a while to build, it took me a while to learn that I had to let go. It took me even a little longer to realize
I needed somebody that was as powerful, as close to being as powerful as I was with a guest, and then it took me time to learn to get out of their way. But, man, I really feel for you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you, Coach.
It was it's a pleasure talking to you, pal. And you know what? You know what you have to do. You know what's right. And if this helps clarify it for you, that's all.
It does.
The thing that I like about Edmund, and Dean and I go back a few years, is this guy's probably the most total student of the industry that I know. I mean, we'll go out to dinner with a bunch of people, and we're sitting around the table talking shop or whatever. He's back in the kitchen talking to the cooks, asking people this and what about and all those things. And it's just, I mean, it reminds me every time that there's so much more to learn.
What it takes. The idea of being a student. In fact, I think I mentioned that in my tape. But this industry changes and things. Things are always on the move, and you're always looking for that next good idea. Well, my friend, I wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Coach. I mean, and I sincerely hope that, I don't know, you know, but our paths will cross again sometime.
Well, are you going to the NRA show?
I'll be honest with you, the way my units are doing, I have a moratorium on me going anywhere this year.
Because I'm
going
to speak there with another guy that's absolutely incredible.
Well, we're going to do a thing with Mike. We'll get him on the series.
Okay, that's great.
Sometime here.
Okay.
Good enough.
Well, if I don't make it up this year, we'll certainly have to do it sometime soon.
You bet.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Evan.
You're welcome.
All right, Bill, I really appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, my friend.
Yeah, I don't understand why we don't have 50 million people calling on these things.
it baffles me as well, but... As long as you're doing some good somewhere,
it's doing a lot of good to me.
Even if it's just your own monthly private consulting session, take it.
I tell you what, I mean, selfishly, I hope it is, but unselfishly, you know, it'd be great to have 50 million people listening in.
Well, eventually, people will wise up to it.
We'll catch on.
It takes a while.
Okay, thank you a lot, guys.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Don't you ever reach out for that man.
Yep. Edmund is an ace. I mean, he's just, you know, his heart is pure. And I just worry that, I don't say worry, but, you know, I can see the slippery slope that he can get on here.
Boy. Oh, that is absolutely true. You know, if nothing else in my presentations when I get into these areas, people do love the confirmation that, you know, you got to fake it sometimes, but
mm-hmm.
People eat your lunch, both sides of the stomach.
Oh, God, it's true.
And you're constant today, never before, you've got to give on both sides. And it's not like you just get tired of emoting or whatever the word is, of energizing the people around you. And it's hard. You know, the good part about it, your job or my job today, you know, and I'm in front of a bunch of students, and I've got them for 2 hours or whatever the period of time is.
You can be up for two hours.
I can go like hell. When it's over, I can go hide out.
Well, I think I'm going to go hide out on the road and drive down to see if I can get through L.A. before all the afternoon traffic.
All right, and if you want to do this again, let me know.
Well, we're going to do it again on the 5th of March.
Oh, on the 5th of March, okay.
Yeah, that'll be the one for next time, because we've got some new folks that'll get on the series. And
okay.
A few folks.
And I love the email thing.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that was late. I sent one out. I got to just get you on the list for the... I sent the notice out to everybody else a few days earlier.
Sure.
But... that's on the reminder for this, but we'll definitely get you that, and you'll get the tape. You'll get a copy of next month. You're on the list now, so you'll get every month. You'll get Mike's tapes, and
you know what you might want to send him.
Huh?
There was a thing I did for Steve, one of those papers. You know, I forget the name of it.
Oh yeah,
but it was on. It was an example of my going on the floor and what I did before I worked the floor, and. It's reinforcing and may give him a couple of ideas.
Can you find that? Because
have a copy.
I don't think I do.
Okay, I will. I will look for it because, and I'll send it to you. And you can send it to him.
Okay.
I mean, this poor guy, I really, you know, he's working so hard. And
yeah.
He's looking, and I got empathy there. That I've been there. I'm just looking for somebody to make my life a little easier, and so I can get off the floor. Let's go to multi-unit, and
mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, as best that may be to sell two of them, and
not first thoughts. The thought that came to me in dealing was sell the sucker.
Yeah.
And because you know, a guy like this is going to down the road if he doesn't. So hard to sell something when you are really the reason it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I was the competitive difference. Now, as I kept building and becoming more flamboyant with the decor and creating these unusual things at Chateau, it became easier to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are, you're trying to sell, unless you catch a cruiser, what I call it, I catch a
yeah.
cruiser, some guy that's not smart enough to realize that what I'm really not getting with this purchase is the personality that made the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll talk with Edmund too, and you know, about that. Or what I'll do when I get hooked up again, I'll send you his email address.
Okay, please.
If you
want
to drop him a note.
And I will do that.
Okay.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Okay, Don, we'll talk.
Take it easy.
Bye.